Bless them. There's a song that says we're coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you, Jesus. That's what our service is about. That's what the church is about. That's why we gather here. It's about Jesus. That's what Christmas should be about. It's all about you, Jesus. It's not always that way. The word Christmas has the title of Jesus in it. Christ must. Don't ever write X-M-A-S. Keep Christ in Christmas is a Christian theme. As I thought about these December Sundays, I thought it's got to magnify the Lord. It's got to lift Him up. We have to ask ourselves, what will bless Him during this season? Well, I believe the service already this morning would be a blessing to the Lord because it's been exalting Him. We partook of His supper with Him and with one another this morning. I believe that will bless Him. But I thought, what will grieve Him during this season? Well, for sure, sin. Some people think they have to celebrate. They have to go out and get drunk and drink and all of that, party to celebrate Christmas. What a grieving thing that is to the Lord. Other things will be distractions that will get away from the heart and the meaning of Jesus and into other situations, worrying about the end of the year, the beginning of the year, all of the frustration that goes into buying gifts and then realize you might have forgot somebody and they might be hurt over that and so on. Or like our PT Cruisers meeting on Friday night that we had a white elephant gift and some people lost the gift they had in their hand and they're grieving this morning. Well, I don't think so. I think they got over it. I told them I was going to preach on the Ten Commandments because they were stealing, you know. But we had a great group. But distractions away from what really the meaning is. Another thing would just be getting too busy. You know, there's one thing is business, but busyness is another thing. And that's what we have to look at, even as we approach the new year, that we have to say, what do we want to do different in the coming year? We do not want to get so busy and have distractions that keep us away from a personal devotion with the Lord. If you don't have a time set aside at night or in the morning or both where that it's just you and Jesus, it's you, you're focusing on the Lord, then that needs to be a desire for you to put into your goals for the new year, that you would find intimacy with the Lord through His Word, through prayer, through thanksgiving, through intercession, through a time of a personal devotion, a time of sharing that devotion with others. You touch the Lord each morning, you'll have something to say to anybody because there's a rhema that will come your way that you'll be able to reach out. Distractions, busyness. What grieves the Lord? Mockery grieves the Lord. Mockery. I was blessed at Cofield Unit the other day. A big manger scene right outside the sidewalk at the Texas State Prison. And they're just saying, just show us what we can do about this. Now, they had Santa Claus on the other side. But it's still there. The manger, the Christ scene is still there. The Jesus being born is still there. What a blessing. But there's so many things today that would be a mockery to the very name of Jesus. I pray that we as a congregation, I'll speak to you as a pastor for a moment, as a congregation that we never move into any activity, programs, etc., that would be a mockery to Jesus. That this is never a personality-based speaker or ministry or church, but it's people that have sold out to the Lord and just want to share what God's done in their hearts. And it's not for personal glory, personal gain. Not for financial gain. But it's for the Lord Jesus Christ. As I thought about this message. It's on the sign already out there. Looking unto Jesus. That's what we want to do. Prestos los ojos en Jesús. That we want to be able to say our purpose this season and really all of our lives is to look into Him. I love the scripture in Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, someone said if you see, they see therefore, you have to see what it's there for. Therefore, that's at the end of that, that chapter. We also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. As we lay that aside, then what's the next step? Looking unto Jesus. He is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. If we will get rid of the sin and get rid of the distractions and the busyness and the mockery, then we can truly look unto Jesus. We can recognize Him as the one who said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's His church. We can look to Him. We can look to Him. And all of the things we sang about this morning, we can look to Him. We can focus on Him. We can have Jesus as our purpose, as our plan, as our salvation. We can look to Him. I want to give you an illustration that I heard about. An elderly widow welcomed her new pastor into her farm home in Kansas. She had three sons in the Navy. Anyone here been in the Navy? Military? Oh, here's some. Look at that. She welcomed this pastor in, and she had three sons that had left the farm and had gone into the Navy. She was so perplexed as she tried to get acquainted with her new pastor. She said, why would boys from the farm go out to sea? She was so perplexed. She didn't like them being gone. At the end of the visit, the pastor said, I think I know why. She looked at him. He said, ever since I stepped into your living room, I've been admiring your beautiful oil seascape painting over the sofa. So there was a picture over the sofa of the ocean. He says, do you think that your boys looking at that every day growing up in their years could have developed a yearning experience for the sea? You see, we move in the direction of the things that we fix our attention on. That's why I like the word hope. I like to put it everywhere. Because people need it. They need to know that there's a way up. There's a way out. That there's a difference that God can make. That Jesus can make in their lives. That we have that. I still like the cross up. Because it represents Jesus. It shows us crucifixion. It shows us salvation. I like a picture of the open tomb better. Because it shows that He is not on the cross anymore. That He was raised from the dead. Christ, the title that we use for Christmas, Christ. What is our title? Well, we say Christians. Sad to say, because of wrong representation, the word Christian is something that is not a good word in many places. For sure, not in the Arab world or in the Jewish world. Israel, they don't use that. They use believers. They don't even use the church. They use congregation because it's been ruined by the past. By history has destroyed the real meaning of that. If we say that we are Christian, well then our goal as Christians should be to become Christ-like. And to do that, we must fix our eyes on Jesus. That must be our gaze. Just like the Navy boys every day looking at that picture of the sea and just thinking about the getting on a ship and being there and leaving that farm behind and going. Well, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, then we can truly have that title of Christian, Christ-like. Where is our focus today? What is the thing, the priority of your life today? Is it Jesus? Is it Jesus Christ? Is that, are you worthy of being called a Christian? That became first at the church in Antioch when they called themselves Christians for the first time. It was kind of a mockery at that time. Well, those are people that follow Christ. But what a joy it is to say, I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I follow Jesus Christ, I know Him personally. Today's psychologists, they say that our focus needs to be on ourselves, on the inner self. But another scripture we're going to use this morning is in Psalm 8, and it shows us a better way. You see, only when we ascribe purpose and value to the Lord Jesus Christ, as we look to God and we worship Him, do we discover who we really are. Psalm 8, verses 1 through 9. O Lord, our Lord, David by revelation saying this, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I love that song, Majesty. You have set your glory above the heavens. Look at verse 2. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the avenger, the foe. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon. You seen the full moon lately? The moon and the stars which you have set in place. What is man that you're mindful of him? The son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet. All flocks and herds and beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, verse 9, how, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You see, when David got this revelation, he expressed his praise to God about 1,000 years before Jesus came to earth. We say that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. We can describe more fully this excellence of God because we know Jesus. We've seen the character of the Father in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, He came to this earth to show us what God was like. We have no excuse. When you study Jesus, His life, the character of Jesus, and of course, He wasn't just born in Bethlehem. He said, let us make man in our own image. Let us do this. The Trinity was there at the very beginning of creation, and He was there. But as He came in human form, as well as His humanity and His divinity, we got to see more what God was like. Verse 2 of this scripture says, from the lips of children and infants you've ordained praise because of your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. He's saying that praise comes from children. You might hear them here in a few minutes again. You see how eager they are to leave all of this and get up there. You see how open that children are, how that they automatically want to praise the Lord. You see, they don't know very much. They have little doctrinal content. We try to take care of some of that. But they have just enough understanding for the formation of praise at a very young age. to praise the Lord. Maybe all they can say is, I love you. But from God's point of view, this offering of praise from the nursery or from the toddler room, it drowns out all of the violent noises of the earth and of the enemy. Little boy trying to say Psalms 23. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. Great faith. Great faith. Jody didn't quite do that well. He's going to hear this message. He said, the Lord is my dada. Well, I liked that, you know, but I remember as a little child, my father being a pastor, saying, would you come up and sing a song? And it might have just been, oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. But there was a faith that was there. It was imparted. And I appreciate our ministry to children. You saw the picture that Davion had up here. That's putting something in those children they would never get anywhere. And listen to me, folks, they will never forget it. They'll never forget it. How that they can learn and how that they, you say, well, that's, you're commanding them to say those words. Holy Spirit's there. It's driving it in that children will praise the Lord. They will bless the Lord. On Wednesday night here, we have a regular attender about that tall. Her name is Stephanie. And as soon as the music starts, she just does like this. She does like this. And then she'll do like this. You think we command her to do that? Well, you know, we take pictures and we say yes, 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 but it's automatic for a child to praise the Lord. They have to be taught not to. I walked back to Elijah back there this morning. I lifted his hands like this and he smiled, you know, already. What are the birds doing every morning? They're praising the Lord. They're praising the Lord. They're singing praises to Jesus. And they do it automatically. It's something that God has rules that kingdom through instinct. And he's placed that in them to praise the Lord. I don't think the crows are praising the Lord. They're just making a racket. But those birds are praising the Lord. But just think about how that is an innate quality that people have a desire to praise the Lord. People around the world, they're waiting to know the answer so they can praise the Lord. I talked to a man in Israel, and he said, in one day, as much as I was against Jesus being the Messiah, in one day, everything changed. And the next day, I was so affirmative. I have found the Lord. He is not to come. He has come and he will come. Thank you, Lord. I was asked to go speak in a church near Lufkin, this side of Lufkin, one Sunday morning. And Charlotte and I walked in and there was a congregation there. And I looked at my watch and I thought I was kind of early, but they were already worshiping. And I sat there for a while and I noticed around the people were smiling. They were very joyous. And about that time, well, someone from the church came and said, oh, Brother Joe, this is a service we have for the Lufkin State School. Said, we're having Sunday school in the other part of the congregation. And I realized that those special needs people had come together and they had a heart of praise that was, I guarantee you, better than the next service. You see, because he says, The little ones, the lips of children and infants have ordained praise that will silence the foe and the avenger. Turning to 1 Corinthians 12, 22 and 23. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. I said earlier, we all are part of that team. Every member of that team, that person that seems to be of least importance is actually more necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with greatest care. Lord, keep sending people here. Send the handicapped, Lord. Send the special needs people, Lord. Give us a heart of compassion that we'd be able to serve those that you say are of more importance. Every race, every culture, Lord. After David expresses his wonder and adoration for the character of God, he turns in awe to his creation. And this is a sermon in itself, and I won't really go there very much. But I want to read verse 3 of chapter of Psalm 8. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've set in place, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, all that swim in the paths of the sea. Verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. It may seem that David was being a little negative there as far as the value of man. But in view of the greatness of God and the vastness of the sky, man is nothing. But that's not his answer. He's expressing the high nature and the value of human life. Can we just pause for a moment and realize how many abortions take place because they say it's not really a human being? It is. It is. Even if you've had a miscarriage, ladies, that baby's in heaven. He's expressing the high nature and the value of human life. One translation says, what a man you have made. That David was saying that just the opposite. That man and woman, the creation of the human being, is a powerful thing that God has made. But in comparison to the greatness of God, then we can see what he says there. What is man that you're mindful of him? You see, we're created a little lower than the heavenly beings, he says, but we're crowned with glory and honor, the ruler of the work of God's hands, including animal life on the ground, in the air, and in the sea. He has made us as dominion over that. So compare the verses 1 and 2 with 3 and 8. And a proper and true understanding of God's majesty leads to a right understanding of the dignity and the value and the identity that we have. Every year I go to the National Chaplains Conference in Springfield, Missouri. And they say if you're from there, you say Missouri. So I said Missouri, didn't I? Okay. And we have the attorney for the Assemblies of God come and speak to us. He talks about court cases and all of those things, but he also brings his PowerPoint because he is an amateur astronomist. I don't want to say astrology. Astronomist. And he has a huge telescope in his garage that he rolls out in his driveway. And he discovers what you wouldn't believe. I'd like for you to write this down. It's called seetheglory.com. And NASA has even printed things that he's discovered that they hadn't discovered. Isn't that like the Holy Spirit? Seetheglory.com. He tells us of the stars and the things, the galaxies that have been discovered that no one knew was out there and how far that is away and all of that. He was an atheist. But by revelation, he became a solid apologist, you might say. Somebody that is defending the Christian faith. Richard Hammer. And so seetheglory.com. You will enjoy looking at that. And just, it's better than the Discovery Channel, I tell you. You see, we're below God, but above everything else, as human beings. This is God's design. Is this your experience? That God is above us and he's above that, and that he's given us responsibility. And some of that responsibility is his creation that is here. Responsibility is the great commission that he's given to us. And we are here. We don't have to try to lead the birds and the dogs and the cats to the Lord. Some people want us to bless their animals. I've never done that. I don't think I will. But they have an animal blessing time at some of these churches and so on. But, they can be a blessing, I guess. But especially, well, anyway, I won't go there. But maybe you feel underneath everything, without control over nothing today. Well, God has a better idea. Maybe you feel stripped of your self-worth and feel like a worm, wish you could die. Well, that's why the church is called Church of Living Hope. We hope that before you leave here today that you will recognize that there is value in your life. And if you'll turn your heart to Jesus and put him first, then there is a fantastic future that he has for us. Maybe you feel like Isaiah in verse chapter 6, that when you see the majesty of God, you see your own sinfulness, your own unworthiness. And that's okay if that brings us to repentance. The love of God changes us as we see his care and his character. Then we are to fall on our faces before him in repentance. Isaiah 6 verse 5 says, "Woe is me, I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And so we recognize that there's a time there. So we had the portrait over the sofa of the sea, but let's look at our portrait this morning. David began to focus on the Lord. And that's what we need to do, is begin to worship him. Let this Christmas season be a time of not getting so busy, but drawing near to the Lord, calling upon him, worshiping his majesty today. He says, "O Lord our God, how majestic is your name in all the earth." We want to recover that sense of person we really are. God wants us to discover him. If we're going to find out who we really are, we must first discover him. This is the power of this psalm and the truth and the pattern that it represents. So what lifted those three Kansas boys out of a farm and into a career on the sea? It was that picture of the sea. What will lift you up today to become the person that God has for you? That person of victory, not a victim, but a victor. One in control rather than a victim, or one being controlled. It's a picture of Jesus. You say, "Well, I've seen those pictures on the wall." Well, that's just some artist's conception. But the Jesus we see is a Jesus that's invisible to our eye, but we see him in our heart. We see him through his character. We know him personally. We recognize his voice. We are sheep that follow him. So what picture do you see? I see a picture of a Savior, a helper, a friend, a guide. Thank you, Lord. A counselor, as Kimberly sang this morning. A deliverer, a redeemer, as Ann shared the other day. As a repairer. Anyone here broke that needed repair? Was he a repairer? Did he fix you up? Did he take out the old and put in the new? A repairer. He's a restorer. Did he bring it back, what you had lost? He's a reviver. We sang revival this morning. Reviver. I didn't tell him to sing that. He's a healer. Physically, emotionally, mentally, he's a healer. You ever been hurt? You ever felt rejected? He's a healer. He's a restorer. How are you going to look at Jesus through this season? I challenge you to be a gazer. You say, is that a word? I don't know. But look at this. Acts chapter 1, verse 10 through 11. Jesus carried the disciples out to the mount. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, I think that's a good definition, looking steadfastly towards Jesus. As he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. What were they doing? They were gazing on him. They knew they would miss him, but they were gazing upon him. That's not a casual glance. That is a gazing look. Think about Stephen, the first martyr. Acts 7, 55 and 56. Acts 7, 55 and 56. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. I believe you can do that spiritually. You can be a gazer and you can see that Jesus is there at the right hand. And what's he doing? He's praying for you and me. It says that the heavens open. Do you want an open heaven? You know what that means? That means that you know that your prayers get past the ceiling. They get past the dark cloud. They get to the Lord himself, an open heaven. That's why that we need to lay aside every weight, every sin. It said that enslaves us or traps us, every trap. We need to recognize that the enemy is out there. He's got traps for us. But we lay aside every weight, every sin, every trap. Then it said, let us run. Let us run. That means that you're eager like those children. It's not like I like to see people get out of their cars and eager to get in the front door of the church. Especially, I like to see them eager to come to prayer meeting on Friday night. Eager. That we're running. Let us run. Let us endure. And let us keep looking unto Jesus. Not just, I did that. No. No, we need to have his image in our souls, in our hearts at all times. Verse 12 again of Hebrews. Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance that which is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He calls us. Will we answer? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What do? We look away from distractions. We look away from anything that grieves the Holy Spirit. Instead, we exalt Jesus as our Lord. I like the song that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look into wonderful face. And the things of this life will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I had an experience in the bathroom, in the shower. I do my best praying and singing there. But you know, the bathroom kind of gets steamy because I like that hot water. I've had enough cold water on mission trips that when I can find that hot water, I enjoy it. And it puts steam up there. And so there were times that I couldn't see myself in the mirror. And so I'd get the towel and I'd wipe it off and I knew it was clean. And I still couldn't see in the mirror. Something was wrong with that mirror, I thought. You know what I finally realized? It was my glasses that got steamed up. The mirror was clean, but my glasses still had that steam on them. So what did I have to do? I had to clean the glasses off so I could see clearly. You see, that's what the Lord is saying to us today. Hannah, would you come? What is blinding us from seeing Jesus today? Have I given you an appetite to look into Jesus? Have you been able to recognize that it's all about Him? Do you see Him today? Do you see Jesus? Do you see Him as the Savior? Do you need Him as a Savior this morning? If you've never really said yes to Jesus, it really means giving your life away. It means I no longer want to serve myself. I want to serve Him. I no longer want to live a life of self-serving, selfishness, disobedience, rebellion against God. I recognize that God loves me. He cares for me. And He always chooses for the very best. Many people hold back from giving their life away because they think it'll be worse. It's better. Will you agree? It's a better way. Do you see Jesus as your helper this morning? There are things that you need help on. Then you need to come to the altar and cry out to Him and say, Lord, I need help. Ask our prayer team to come forward at this time. You see Jesus as your friend this morning. You see Him as your guide. You're in need of guidance this morning. What Brother Tom said as he left the first time by himself for Israel was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. You need counsel this morning. He's a counselor. You need deliverance this morning. He's a deliverer. You want to see Him as your redeemer. You need repair this morning. You need restoration. You need revive in your life. You need healing. He can be there. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you, Lord. Precious Jesus. This morning, we're here for you. The altar is a place of sacrifice. The altar is a place where that you put to death those things that don't need to live any longer. You bring resurrection life to Jesus today. Healing this morning, we pray for the sick here. And praying for these that have come forward today. Just stretch your hand this way. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Digno eres tú, Señor. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, oh God. Yes, you are, God. Yes, you are. Yes, you are, Lord. Yes, you are, Jesus. More about you, Jesus. Sing it. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Put a video on the screen that will kind of climax what we've been saying this morning. So just stay in a spirit of prayer and worship as we show this. Thank you, Lord. Precious Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
sound of your voice. All at once it's a gentle and thundering noise. Oh God, all that you are is so overwhelming. I delight myself in you, captivated by your beauty. I'm
first day of our salvation, we're overwhelmed at the love of God, at the change that He gives us. And every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. So it only increases. He says, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And that's better than the thief who comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. So we have Him. We have Him. Let's continue to worship Him. We're going to go outside and take a picture, get some coffee as we kind of get it ready. Stretch your hand this way and let's get a blessing from the Lord. to go into this world around us and take this message that it's Christmas and there's hope in Jesus and that we're able to follow Him. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May He be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Jehová te bendiga y te guarda. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehová alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. Go now and find someone and give that hope to. Read your church news. It talks about if people ask you about the hope that's within you, you've got something to tell them. Amen. Blessings. We want everybody in this picture. This is going to be sent in Christmas cards to prison inmates. We'll blow it up and put it on our mantle for next year. Amen. So get your picture in this.
Amen. So everybody, it is, I know everybody's got a cell phone.